Hey, thanks for joining us here at South Reno United Methodist Church, where we love God, love people, and make disciples. If you have any questions or want to know more about us as a church, you can always check us out online by going to southrenoumc.org. With that being said, let's go to this week's lesson.
Today we're starting a new message series entitled Road Trip, and you see around me all sorts of mementos and reminders of past travels. Well, today we are looking at 5 tips to ensure that you reach your destination safely. But of course, my real intent in this message is to take these tips and apply them to our daily lives, because life is like a road that you travel on. We only get to live each day one day at a time. But the road of life, or the adventure life, is actually a little more complicated than a highway, because we're all born, we all come equipped with a rear view mirror. But what we don't come equipped with is a reverse, because there are no do-overs. You can't go back and redo your 30s or your 40s or your 50s or raise your kids again. We all have regrets because we all have rear view mirrors, but there is no reverse, just park and drive. And some of us, if we're honest, we spend way too much time looking in that rear view mirror of our lives, obsessing over our regrets. But the truth is, the future from this moment forward is like the road we're on. And it's what we do from this point forward that makes all the difference. Of course, we can learn from our mistakes, but you can't live your life looking in the rear view mirror, just like you shouldn't drive looking in the rear view mirror. Especially with life, because again, there's no way to go back. And this is what we all have in common. Whether you're a person of faith or a person not of faith, we all want to get the future right, and we all want to arrive safely at some destination. So, 5 tips for the road. Just a heads up, if you came today looking for a deep Bible study, we just did that over the last 4 weeks. This series is more of a summation of some practical things to help us move forward with life. So number 1, don't travel alone. We say this all the time here, that life is better together, because you and I were made for community. So travel with friends. Don't allow yourself to get isolated. In certain seasons of life, because of pain and things that we've gone through, there's always a temptation to be a little bit isolated. I know I do it at times. I want to encourage you to ignore that voice in your head. Ignore that voice in your head that says, I don't need anybody. Because that's not God. That's not the Holy Spirit. Because you and I were created to live in and operate in community. You and I do need some people around us. But who we do life with often determines how our lives go. Have you noticed that? And one of the hacks is to not simply gravitate towards acceptance. Acceptance is powerful. It's a powerful draw, because we all have acceptance magnets. We all just flow towards acceptance. So when it comes to who you do life with, don't simply give in to the magnetic draw of the first person or the first group of people who show up in an extended invitation, even though they are probably and maybe great people and they're sincere as they could possibly be. Because again, the people who get in on the inside of our lives often determine the direction and the quality of our lives. This is so important. Look for people. Especially in the transitions of life, look for people who share your values. You know what a value is. A value is what you have predetermined is most important to you. There are things that are most important to all of us. Do life with people who share those values. They will have your back, and there's kind of a synergy of values that will ensure that at the end of this season of life, that you will still be prioritized around the things that you've decided are most important to you, and you'll get the most out of life. Who we do life with, who we travel with, often determines the direction and quality of our lives. Or to put it into this context, our friends determine the direction and the quality of the trip. So who you surround yourself with, who we do life with, is so extraordinarily important. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that anyone is unimportant. We're not saying that anyone is less important. What I'm saying is this. When it comes to that inner circle who you're traveling with through life, surround yourself with people that embrace your values. The author of Proverbs put it this way. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Wisdom is understanding and living as if life is connected, that what happens today impacts tomorrow, and that what happened yesterday is going to show up in my life today. And so the author of Proverbs says this, whom we do life with, whom we walk in this life with, whom we do life with, people who are wise, then we become wise. But then there's this a contrast between, in most Proverbs, always, there maybe sometimes two, sometimes three. But the companion of fools, it says, Proverbs, is someone who lives life without care, who is careless. The companion of fools doesn't necessarily become a fool. Rather, the companion of fools will suffer the same consequence as the fool because that's who they're traveling with. So don't travel alone. Now, number two is kind of an offshoot of the rule of number one. Number two is simply this. Don't pick up strangers. Now, I need to define stranger. Okay, a stranger is someone who's strange. Now, honestly, we're all a little bit strange. A little bit strange to somebody, right? So someone who, let's just say, someone who is stranger than you, that's what I mean by a stranger. I'm not saying don't meet people, don't be friendly, okay? Be kind, that's a fruit of the Spirit. Be kind, be careful. Careful who you allow into your vehicle. Careful about who you allow in the inner circle of your life. We are kind to everyone. We are patient with everyone. We are compassionate and generous with everyone. But be careful who you let into the inner circle, because it goes back to rule number one. He who walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools suffers the consequences as a fool. So I want to just kind of ask this question as we move on. Do you have any strangers in your life? And do you have any strangers you've allowed into the inner circle? And let me tease that out a little bit. Is there anyone you're doing life with, if you're really honest, that they make you a little less healthy? They cause you to doubt yourself? They seem to always be slowly and maybe suddenly chipping away at your values? Let's go back to the car thing for a second. You would not repeatedly loan your car to someone who repeatedly trashes it, would you? So don't loan yourself to someone who repeatedly trashes you, okay? That's number two. Okay, number three is this. I want you to choose a destination. Don't just travel. You choose a destination and borrow a map. This is kind of a two-part thing. What I mean by choose a destination, everyone ends up somewhere in life. I mean, if you don't have a destination in mind, time just goes by. And if you've got the health to endure your 30s and your 40s and your 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s and maybe the 90s, and maybe you become even a centurion, you live to be 100 years old. The win, just humanly speaking, the win in terms of being a Jesus follower, this win is to end up somewhere on purpose, right? And just as in the long road trip, there are multiple legs. The first day we went here, the second day we went here, the third day we went here and stayed 2 days, and then the fourth day. Well, as there's usually multiple legs on a road trip, there are multiple seasons in life, right? And it's so important in each of these seasons to determine your destination in that season. Now, since we're in this season of school starting, let me use that imagery. We've all done this. You got into elementary school and your parents said your destination is to get out of fifth grade and then to get into middle school. And then you got into middle school and the destination was to get to high school and then it was to get out of high school. Well, you get the picture. So this whole idea of setting a destination for each season, we grow up with, it instills with us a paradigm or a template that teaches just that. But here's what happens. Once we get out into the work world, into the job world, and the rest of life, it's easy to lose sight of the fact that we still have seasons of life. There's a single season, there's a married season, there's a kid's season or grandkid's season. There are all these seasons, and each season of life, you need to choose some understanding, you know, vague or general, or maybe in a specific sense, a destination. It's important to choose that in each season of life, what you want your life to look like. Here's the thing. If you don't want to drift, and I don't think anybody wants to drift, if you don't decide, if you don't choose what you want this season to look like, what you want to look like at the end of this season, if we don't choose the circumstances and the people and life in general, they just decide for us because the days keep clicking by. Life is a highway. Another day, another day, another day. Oh, rear view mirror. Uh-oh, no reverse. Another day, another day, and another day. Direction, not intention, determines our destination. And this is true when you're driving, and this is true when you're living. It's the direction, not the intention, that determines your destination. Okay, here's the thing. You could get in your car and you could drive north with all the intention of going to Las Vegas, but you're never going to get there. I don't care what your intentions are. You can intend it and you can pray and you can trust God, but you're going to end up sooner or later in Canada. Okay? So in every season of life, we need to choose what destination is. Now, the second part of this is to borrow a map. Someone has already been to where you're hoping to arrive. You don't know what you're doing or if you're even doing it right. By the time you figure it out, the next season could be rolling around. The wisest thing you can do is to find someone and borrow their map. Find someone who's already been there and navigated it well. Are you familiar with the Vernon Law? Experience is a hard teacher, but she gives the test first, the lesson afterwards. The only way to avoid this is to get the information or invite someone into your life so when the test comes, you'll be ready for it. Acknowledging what you don't know and asking for help isn't a weakness. It's a sign of maturity. It's a sign of wisdom. The author of Proverbs puts it this way. Listen to counsel and accept discipline, that you may be wise the rest of your days. Now listen to counsel and accept when you're wrong. If the pattern and habit of your life is to be open to counsel and wisdom of others, you will be wise. So choose a destination for this leg of your journey and borrow a map. You'll get where you're going faster with less regret. Well, rule number four, pay attention to the signs. Pay attention to the signs. Okay, road signs are there for our protection as well as our direction. Some of us think that those signs are for other people, right? Those are what other people need to do. I don't need to slow down for the curb. I'm a good driver. Yellow light? Well, that means speed up right now. I need to get through the intersection. And then when we see other drivers ignoring those signs, what do we think? Idiot, you're putting others' lives at risk. But here's the thing. Sometimes it's hard to see the idiot in the mirror, right? And the same is true in life for all of us, right? Again, the author of Proverbs reminds us, the prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. The prudent, the wise, the people who know life is connected, see the signs and they respond. They slow down in that curve. Now notice the contrast. The simple just keep going. They pay the penalty. But you won't be the only one who pays because everyone that is looking to you, that you're responsible for, that depends on you, that's traveling with you, they're also going to pay as well. So pay attention. Pay attention to the signs. Now, the fifth and final one is this. Don't carry unnecessary baggage. If you carry too much baggage on a trip, it just slows you down, doesn't it? There's always a temptation to overpack. On a road trip, it's a big deal. On a life trip, it may be the biggest deal. Unnecessary baggage will slow you down and will slow everyone traveling with you down as well. Now, baggage is that unresolved or partially unresolved stuff from the past. It keeps showing up from the past into the present or the future and makes life more complicated. So are you carrying unnecessary baggage? Perhaps you should take a look. We've all been hurt. We've all been betrayed, neglected, left out, abandoned, forced to parent a parent, or maybe even a spouse. It may have left you angry, suspicious, or vulnerable. It's hard to unpack that stuff and leave it behind. Though we're quick to suggest other folks do that, you want the people you're doing life with to unpack theirs and leave it behind so it doesn't complicate your life, right? Well, our past is so much a part of us that it's hard to imagine leaving it behind. Now, I love this quote. If you don't deal with your demons, they'll go into your cellar of your soul and lift weights. Now, as time goes by, most people lose sight of the source of their anger and bitterness when the source was part of their story. Now, perhaps Paul had something like that in mind when he wrote in Ephesians, "Be angry, but don't sin. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. Don't give the devil space," my paraphrase, "in your baggage." We touched on this last week. Let me just summarize it here. Don't give him a toehold, a handle, or a hiding place. If you don't like to say the devil, okay, we can change the term to say don't give bitterness, resentment, fear, anger, a toehold, or a place in your luggage. Now, got any demons down there that are lifting weights? If you're not sure, the folks around you know. They have to help you carry it, duck your anger, navigate your overreactions, deal with your moods, and avoid certain topics. They would love for you to unpack your stuff and find someone to help you. Or to use Paul's terminology, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, along with every form of malice. How do you do that? Forgiving each other's. This is how you get rid of all that bitterness. Hang on, Paul's not done. Just as in Christ, God forgave you. We don't forgive because people deserve it. They don't. We forgive because we've been forgiven. We cancel debts because our debts were canceled. The hurt, betrayal, abandonment, they create a debt. You think they owe you. You think they owe you your childhood, your first marriage, reputation, that opportunity, or to be able to tuck your kids in at night. Their debt becomes your baggage. You're lugging it around and waiting to be paid back. And while you wait, guess what? The demons are lifting weights, and the people from your past can't pay you back. They can't pay you back because there's no going back. Remember, we come equipped with a rearview mirror, but no reverse. Tell your demons you're closing the gym. They will complain, but their voices will go weaker and weaker over time. And no, it's not fair. This isn't about fairness. It's about your freedom. So cancel those debts, unpack that stuff, and choose to forgive. Cancel the debts? Who knows? You may be able to get by with only a carry-on. So here are the 5 tips for a road trip. Don't travel alone. Don't pick up strangers. Choose a destination and borrow a map. Pay attention to the signs. Don't carry unnecessary baggage. You're going to end up somewhere in this season of end life. You get to choose. Follow these tips and you'll reach your destination on time and on purpose. I'd love to pray for us before we go. Heavenly Father, wherever this lands with us, give us the courage to admit it. Give us the courage to say something to somebody before this day is over, just to get out before we scramble back and go into hiding. Oh God, for the man or woman, the student or the senior adult, the senior in high school who's transitioning into a different season of life, I pray that they won't simply gravitate towards acceptance. I pray that they would find some people to share their values. Jesus, for those here today, they've got some strangers in their car with them. It's so awkward to uninvite someone in our lives. Just give them the wisdom to know how to do that. And Holy Spirit, for those of us who are carrying around extra baggage, we know we are. Just give us the courage to get help and to own it and to apologize. I pray that you and your grace and your mercy would do that thing in us that only you can do. So give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and then give us the courage to step into it. In Jesus' name, amen.
As a church, it is our honor to play a small part in all that God is doing in and through your life. And we would like to continue with you on that journey. To find out what your next step could be in your relationship with Christ, all you have to do is go to southrenoumc.org/next. After all, here at South Reno, we are all helping you become the person God created you to be.